This is John Little from DFW's only all-news morning show, the KRLV Morning News. Keep listening. We'll tell you the top three things you need to know every 15 minutes.
And you can count on us for any severe weather information, breaking news, or traffic red alerts immediately when they happen.
Now, the Mid-Morning Mic Check with Mike Rogers and Austin York on DFW's number one for news, traffic, and weather. News Radio 1080 KRLD. Depend on it.
Here we go. It's the Mid-Morning Mic Check. Tuesday, August 4th. Mike Rogers, Austin York, and you, as always, we'd love to hear from you. Shoot us a text. Give us a call at 945-766-1080. Go to the Odyssey app. Leave a voice message for us.
Yeah, that sounds the best. If you want your voice nice, crisp, and clear, go to that.
Exactly. Anything you want to talk about, because we get a lot of ground to cover today. Quite a bit on this National Chocolate Chip Cookie Day.
That's all good. Right. Are you a big chocolate chip cookie guy? Are you a sweets guy?
I won't say no to a chocolate chip cookie, but there are other kinds I like more.
Yeah, I don't eat sweets a lot. I know, I've told you.
You're lucky. You don't have that sweet tooth.
I get the junk food. That'll get me every time. But if you're talking sweets, I tend to go the other direction.
Well, I don't know who did it, but someone brought in a box of chocolate chip cookies.
I'll tell you why.
Right now.
It was Steve's birthday yesterday.
Oh, Pickering?
Pickering, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Birthday cookies. Yeah, saying the boss made us sing happy birthday. It kind of felt like Office Space. I don't know if Steve was really, okay.
I'm glad that was after I left.
Yeah, you left. Yeah, okay. I noticed that.
This is also National Night Out, except in Texas. We do it in October because it's too hot in August.
That's right. We're not sitting outside and what?
You sit out on your 100 porch
degrees.
And watch for bad guys.
No, do whatever you got to do. I'm going in the AC.
Exactly.
You might as well be the Purge out there.
Knock yourself out. Yeah. We'll check back with you in October. Today, we're really going to do a lot of things, including this MySpace thing. They're talking about bringing MySpace back. My question is why?
Did you ever have a MySpace?
I did.
So did I.
I did, you know, before Facebook got big. Briefly, I had a MySpace. I don't think I did anything on it.
Yeah.
And I couldn't tell you the password for $1 million.
I don't even know if I still have an account somewhere, but that's the first time that I found all the people from high school.
Uh-huh.
Oh my gosh, I haven't seen these guys in almost 10 years or whatever it was. And that's how I befriended all of them.
Thought that
then I went
to
Facebook.
The coolest thing in the world.
Oh, I know. I was like, wow, this is crazy. We can connect with these people.
Now social media is the bane of modern society.
Yeah, and that was the first one. Everyone was a friend with Tom.
So we'll get into that a little bit, because they never went out of business. They kind of went away, but they never went out of business. They're still around. And
they got sold, I think, a couple of times.
Planning a big comeback.
All right, let's see what happens.
So President Trump, he's issued another ultimatum to Iran. It's not the first one. But at the same time, but this is going on, I saw this yesterday, thought this was kind of interesting. He's also picking a fight with America's biggest oil companies, which are reporting some massive profits in the second quarter. As the war continued and price of oil skyrocketed, Exxon alone made $14.5 billion.
That's a pretty good quarter.
Chevron made $12 billion. Just those two companies, $26.5 billion in profit in just 3 months.
Good time to be in the oil business.
And now, while you'd think a pro-business president like Donald Trump would be just fine with that, even he says, that's a little much.
They're making too much money, okay? Based on a shortage, they're making too much money. I don't like it. And I should be the last one to say, because I'm a big free enterprise guy. Nobody bigger. And, you know, you're going to see oil when we're finished with Iran. You're going to see the prices drop through the floor. But they made too much money. Too much money. Chevron, too much money. ExxonMobil, too much money. When you look at one company where they made 12 times what they made the year before, they ought to give some of that back to the public, and they better cut the retail price, the consumer price. Too much money. You're surprised I'm saying it? I'll say it loud and clear. I'm not happy about it.
Yeah, I'm sure they're writing a big check right now.
Got to
give
go.
That money back.
Mike Rogers, Austin York, here you go.
Yeah, nope. That is ain't going to happen. Price of oil right now, by the way, is down $3.5 a barrel. That's West Texas Intermediate.
So what is that, 84?
77.
77, all right.
77 Brent crude is down $3. That's about 80 and a half. So maybe those huge profits won't be quite so huge during the third quarter.
It was $3.70 a gallon at the place I went to. That was just the basic.
Gasoline still up there. Now, Big Oil's response to this?
An industry trade group is firing back, insisting those higher prices are driven by global supply and uncertainty around the Strait of Hormuz, and not by any one one company.
And of course, they always they say that always. Yeah. Oh, well, you can't.
But
it's not
global,
our fault.
It is a lot of it is global markets, and I don't understand how you can just say, okay, well, now you need to. Okay, let's say Chevron decided to do it. Yeah, we're going to lower our price. Yeah, they might have more production, but they'd make a lot less. Everyone else would keep their price the same.
Shareholders
wouldn't
be happy.
Yeah, exactly. Why would you do that?
That's. I mean, in a way, they're right. Just because, you know, oil prices go up or down because of things that are out of your control and you make money off it, well, you know, it's you're not going to say no to that money.
No, absolutely. And nor should you. You have to. But, I mean, it is your company. And like you said, mm-hmm. shareholders that you have to make happy and so on.
Now, the president is also making news with his reaction to his handpicked U.S. attorney for the District of Columbia. That's former Fox News host Judge Jeanine Pirro. Surprising a lot of people last week by dropping the case against the man, a guy named David Hearn. He was accused
Olympian.
By the former Olympic canoeist.
Canoeist. I didn't know they had such a
That's
thing,
right.
but they do. Apparently, he was pretty good.
He was accused by the White House of vandalizing the newly refurbished reflecting pool on the National Mall. They accused him of going after that blue liner with a box cutter. And Pirro herself was completely on board with that narrative.
We will prove beyond a reasonable doubt that Hearn willfully destroyed property at the Lincoln Memorial reflecting pool.
But now, Pirro has suddenly dropped the case against Hearn, saying that, no, in fact, the damage to the pool was the result of a botched installation and not vandalism. Now, there are reports that after doing that, she got a call from the president, and he gave her an earful, and he is still not happy. Listen to this.
I was disappointed with Jeanine Pirro, really disappointed with Jeanine Pirro. She folded like an umbrella. We have photographs or tapes where people are on the side cutting it with a box knife. It looked beautiful. And then they cut it, and they vandalized. And we weren't necessarily thrilled with the contractor, but they did a job, and they were fixing any problems. But then it got carried away because the judge was extremely unfriendly to Jeanine. And frankly, I think she choked. Instead of going after the people that did it, the judge went after her and went after her department. And I guess she choked. I don't know what the hell happened.
You know, when the boss accuses you of choking and folding like an umbrella, that's not generally a good thing.
All right. The over-under is how long does she stay in that position?
Exactly.
The rest of the week? One more
exactly.
week?
Exactly. But he's like, you know, once again, he's like a dog with a bone. This is like the 2020 election. He won't let it go. His own hand-picked U.S. attorney says,
that's the thing. If there is,
there's nothing here.
If there is some evidence, then put it out there. But apparently there wasn't enough. Right,
clearly. According to Hearn's lawyer, Joshua Cole, Pirro did the only thing she could do.
They finally had to face facts and face the reality that their entire case was crumbling before them. And so this is the only natural and logical next step, regardless of how highly unusual it is for this to happen.
Now, he said, Hearn said that he had just stuck his hand in the water. He saw a piece of the blue lining floating, and he was kind of pulling it out to check it out, see what it was. And someone saw him, and then that apparently that is all there was to it.
Maybe he's a canoeist thought, I wonder how deep this is.
Exactly.
I can get in here and start canoeing.
Bring my canoe in.
That's right.
All right, we take a break now, the mid-morning mic check here on KRLD. And when we come back, we're going out to Oxnard. Pads, they're in pads now.
That's right.
It's the next stage of training camp.
It's hit time.
Well, it's hitting time, and you know who's doing some hitting is the defense.
Yeah, like to hear that.
How about that? Brian Broaddus is coming up next on KRLD. Stay with us.
A deep dive into the day's top stories, weekdays from 10 to noon. This is the Mid-Morning Mic Check with Mike Rogers and Austin York on News Radio 1080 KRLD.
It's almost 90 degrees here already in North Texas. You're headed for a high in the low 100s today. Out in Oxnard, California, on the other hand.
When he said this temperature, I'm like, are you kidding me?
It was a delightful 70 degrees right
nice
now.
Nice and sunny and like 70.
Breezy, 70 degrees, sun
he's
coming
up. He's probably got a little pullover.
You're talking, of course, about Brian Broaddus, former Super Bowl champ, our Cowboys insider. He's at training camp in Oxnard, and he joins us right now. Brian, good morning. Loving that weather, aren't you?
Well, I'll tell you what, boys, it's nice here, but the thing about it, they got a heat advisory. It's going to get up to like 77 today.
Oh.
So that could be a little bit of a problem.
Good Lord.
It could be a real problem.
Yeah, but yeah, we were on the, there's a famous watering hole here in Ventura County called the Rudder Room. And so we were on the beach last night. I had on long pants and a hoodie and it was still cold. So that just shows you when that marine layer blows in and stuff like that, it could get a little chilly. But yeah, I try not to talk about the weather when I'm out lot here because it just, I've been coming out here since 2001. And early I was like, oh God, it's beautiful out here. And I just, cause I do, I realize how hard it is at home, you know, with the temperatures they are. And nobody wants to hear how nice it is. And you're right though. I do have a quarter zip on today.
I knew it, guys.
But we ask because we just want to live vicariously through you.
That's right.
So we're compelled to ask.
I appreciate that. I just don't, like I said, when people are driving around listening, I have a good friend of mine, Holly Huggins, who's listening right now. She loves the station. And she would probably tell me, they're like, you know, shut the hell up about the weather, Brian. We understand.
No, it's okay. But, Holly, it's okay. Yeah. We ask him.
That's right, Holly.
Yeah, there we go.
So first day of pads, the defense, still kind of the talk of camp. Here's what they said in the Dallas Morning News today. They suffocated the offense by flashing a combination of speed, physicality, and intelligence.
Whoa, all right.
Is that accurate? Is that what you saw?
I'll tell you what, the defense had a nice day yesterday. There were things that the offense was able to do. They worked on some red zone stuff. That's, you know, for our listeners, that's when you get down into that 20-yard range. And, you know, it's a little bit, the field shrinks. It's a little bit harder to operate. But I felt like, though, the physicality, and that's a word that gets thrown around here a lot. You know, you want speed, you want physicality, you want smarts. Those are all the things. And, you know, when the defense put the pads on, they got after the offense pretty good. I think it's one of those things where there was probably a play or two, the offense got a win, defense comes back. And so it was from that point of evaluation, you don't want one just completely dominating the other. And I think the balance of the practice, it was shown that both sides had moments where you're like, okay, that's what they need. That's how they need to play. And then you look at the other side where maybe the offense is like, okay, they blocked that one up well. Dak got the ball out. I mean, there's a touchdown. Oh, nice blitz pick up there by Williams to get the ball off. So, you know, in a practice, especially these training camp practices, you really do want the balance of both sides.
All right. The big, I guess, defense was terrible last year. We obviously need to see some improvement. Christian Parker, sure. A lot has been made of him. What do you think the biggest difference between last year and this year that you've seen so far with the defense and what Christian has brought to it?
Yeah, it's been six practices. Going on seven practices. I think the thing that I noticed yesterday when they put on the pads was once the ball did get down, once they were moving the ball and it got close to, like I mentioned, the red zone, Christian became really aggressive with the blitz. He was bringing the linebackers. He was not going to let Dak feel comfortable sitting there throwing the football. And his secondary responded in a way of when you play blitz coverage, you're usually playing man-to-man. And Savone Rovell, guys that were making plays on the ball. Moore, the rookie from Florida, made a play. It's just, and they're making plays against, you know, the CeeDee Lambs and the George Pickens. So, it, you know, it's quality versus quality there. But what Christian's done is that he turns it up a notch. When the closer you get to his goal line, the more he's willing to take a chance or two to try and kind of stop you from, you know, maybe hold you to a field goal there. I think the thing that we noticed too that's really different is you don't see the big plays, the missed assignment. You have to see anything where there's been missed assignments. I've seen where they just hadn't been good enough to make the play. But, you know, with Matt Eberflus and that group last year, you saw what we call the bust, where guys are not covered. Guys are running wide open. Guys are, you know, the defense is not doing what they're taught to do. And I don't think you've seen that, at least through the first six practices. I haven't noticed as many of those assignment errors as we've seen in the past.
So which group then would you say we're going to see the most? We're going to notice the most improvement in which group? The secondary, the linebackers, or the big boys up front?
I think that it's probably going to be in the secondary. I think to me that they went out, they made the commitment to go get safeties. Now, to be honest with you, Thompson and Locke, who they both signed, you know, Thompson has had a couple of practices and then he's had practices off. And so he's been a little bit nicked up. And it's been unfortunate for Caleb Downs that he is working with guys right now that are backup safeties, guys that are not going to be guys likely playing, you know, during the season. So that's one of those things, you know, when training camp, you just want everybody, especially with the new scheme, you want everybody kind of on the same page, working together, becoming accustomed to each other. But we just haven't seen that with the early part of this practice. Hopefully Thompson will be back on the field. Locke will be back on the field sooner than later. But if the improvement I'd have to say is the cornerback play and the safety play will probably be something you really, really notice.
That is Brian Broaddus in his long-sleeved quarter zip is covering training camp for us. 105.3 The Fan and our Cowboys insider. Listen, you be careful with that heat advisory. 77,
that's
right, man.
77. That's no joke.
I tell you what, man. It is rough. I think I'm going to keep, even with the heat advisory, I think I'm going to keep the quarter zip on all day. Just to prove a point.
That's right. He's playing with fire there.
Appreciate it, Brian. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. Brian brought us with us on KRLD. And when we come back, Spider-Man breaking records again. The new Spider-Man movie. This thing is
unbelievable.
Is crazy. Biggest opening weekend ever for any movie domestically. So we'll get into that when we come back. The Mid-Morning Mic Check continues after this.
The Mid-Morning Mic Check with Mike Rogers and Austin York on DFW's number one for news, traffic, and weather. News Radio 1080 KRLD. Depend on it.
A new survey, how many streaming services does the average American household have now? What do you think?
All right.
And talking TV.
Okay, so I'd say like six, three, somewhere around there.
Actually, four.
Four, all right.
That is the average number of streaming subscriptions. And these are paid, right? This isn't Pluto and Tubi or anything.
I think I have four, now that I think about it. Yeah, I do.
So you got four, and that it comes to an average of $50 a month. Which one has the most penetration? Which one is number one?
Oh, it has to be Netflix.
It is Netflix.
Okay.
That's 75 million subscribers just in the U.S.
Yeah.
Amazon Prime is second. Although I've always said that shouldn't really count because that you get that with your Prime membership. And a lot of people get that just to save on the shipping.
That's right.
Right? So they may not ever watch Amazon Prime video.
They've got a lot of good shows on that thing.
They do. And then you get into Disney, Hulu, Disney Plus, you know, with
now
Hulu.
You got the Disney because of the ESPN connection there. There was some kind of package.
Well, we cut the cable. So yeah. I needed to get ESPN. I needed to, right?
Yeah, exactly. I needed to too.
And so that was the way I did it. I bundled it Disney Plus, Hulu, and ESPN.
You ever watch the Disney Plus part?
Very little.
See?
See?
I know. It's like they're getting you somewhere.
It's almost like a throw in.
Yeah.
And then Max, HBO is at 35 million. And then you bring it up the rear. This is between 20 and 30 million subscribers. You get Peacock, Paramount, and Apple TV. So we were just kind of wondering if you had to give up one. And a lot of people have hit that point where it's like, you know, the amount I'm spending
go.
And they keep going up in price, one's going to have to go. Which one would it be and why?
Oh,
and not the freebies again either. You know, you get Tubi and Pluto and Roku, but you don't pay for those. So you got to get rid of one of the paid ones.
Maybe the HBO Max, because I only watch like one show on that every now and then.
And it is like over $20 a month.
Yeah, something like that. I had to add it on to the sling.
I might go with Seton. Now, the thing is, if you get rid of Peacock, and if you don't have cable,
Sunday
you're getting
football.
Rid of Sunday Night Football.
How are you going to do that?
If you get rid of Paramount, you're getting rid of, you know, the NFL on CBS.
This just shows you how strong America and their love affair with football is. They will make all the decisions based on football.
So for me, it might be Apple. I don't know,
but
man.
You got a lot of good shows on that.
Apple's got Apple, and
I've really enjoyed it.
It's hard. I wish there was one clear, terrible one that just stood out. They're like, oh, I'd get rid of that one easily. But there's something on all of them.
That's right. Yeah. They always tempt you with something.
It's tough.
This is a good show.
945-766-1080. Let us know. Real life version of Family Feud, meanwhile, playing out right now in Washington, pitting Republican Ohio Congressman Max Miller against his former father-in-law, Republican Ohio Senator Bernie Moreno.
Miller was married to Moreno's daughter, Emily, and they're embroiled in a bitter dispute over their two-year-old daughter.
Emily Moreno has accused Max Miller of holding up a gun to her, of throwing hot water at her, of shoving her up against a wall.
Emily released this photograph, which she claims shows bruises Miller inflicted on her, and she accused him of fracturing their daughter's collarbone. Now her father is blasting his Republican colleague who's running for re-election. Max Miller needs serious psychological help. Bernie Moreno says in a social media post, he is a danger to my daughter. He should not serve in the House of Representatives.
Moreno isn't the first woman to accuse Miller of abuse.
I had seen signs of his temper in the beginning.
That's Melania Trump's former chief of staff, Stephanie Grisham. She dated Max Miller for 2 years, starting in 2019, and wrote about the relationship in her memoir without naming him.
He seemed completely erratic and angry. He called me a psycho. He cheated on me and lied to me.
The person you're talking about, you don't name him in the book, but his name is Max Miller.
I didn't put his name in there on purpose because I've moved on.
Miller has denied that he was ever abusive to Grisham, and he's declaring his ex-wife's allegations to be a a fabrication.
I have never abused our daughter. No criminal charge has ever been filed against me.
Now, Miller is running for re-election this year. It says he's not going to drop out of the race. His district includes most of the southern suburbs of Cleveland. It's a district that Trump carried 55-44% 2 years ago. But in that same election, Miller himself only got 51% of the vote. So this scandal could make a difference. He's running against a union iron worker named Brian Poindexter.
What a tragic last name. Nerd alert.
You do not expect to have an iron worker named Poindexter.
That's right, a good old tough guy.
1 week ago, this guy, Poindexter, he had about a 50-50 chance of winning on Polymarket. Now that's up into the high 60s.
Poindexter for the win.
With all these new revelations. If for some reason you thought that superhero movies were just, passing fancy and that maybe they'd run their course.
I did. I thought, all right, America is going to get sick of this. That's why they're not going to the movie theaters anymore.
Wrong.
I know.
It is official now. This past weekend, the new Spider-Man movie recorded the largest opening weekend for any movie ever.
Tom Holland's Spider-Man Brand New Day swinging to a staggering $355 million in ticket sales.
Sorry about that.
The best performance that Tom Holland has ever given in a Spider-Man movie.
This is a film that really attracts a multi-generational audience. You see grandparents, parents, and children going to see this film and all existing and coexisting in the same audience.
It was amazing!
Spidey super fans packing theaters and taking to social media with their instant reviews.
My mouth was on the floor. The amount of times I cried, laughed, Loki heartbroken.
This might be the greatest Spider-Man film since Spider-Man 2.
Considering the success of Spider-Man Brand New Day, movies are back. Going to the theater is back. People are wholly comfortable with going back to the movie theater and having these shared experiences.
The record-shattering opening also putting Tom Holland in rare air, becoming the first actor to star in the four biggest global openings in box office history.
Wow. Now, yesterday at this time, we were telling you that this new Spider-Man movie had, the second biggest opening weekend of all time, but in fact, upon further review, now they've gotten some new numbers in, and they say it is the biggest at $360 million.
In this country and Canada.
Just in the U.S. and Canada. So that puts it just ahead of Avengers Endgame on that list. Globally, though, that movie is still number one, biggest opening weekend ever. But man, you know,
I don't know.
Theater owners have got to be thrilled.
Oh, they got to. And I don't understand. Like you said, oh, this is the best Spider-Man movie since Spider-Man 2. I don't remember any of these Spider-Mans. They all flow together. They don't. There's no separation between any of them.
They all have similar plots. They all run together.
You might think of the bad guy in some of them. Dr. Octopus was one of them, I remember. And the Sandman, I guess, is. I don't. But it's just. It's
and not just Spider-Man. How many Batman movies have there been?
Well,
Superman
the Batman's,
movies.
To me, at least, those feel a little bit bigger than the Spider-Man. Tom Holland, I guess he's a hot young thing now.
No, they're all still hot, all of these movies. All right, it's 10:44 now. We take a break. When we come back, the biggest of the wildfires up in the Pacific Northwest, they think that that was set, and they think they caught the guy that set it.
This guy, oh my God, if this is the guy, they did it.
Yeah, well, that's coming up. Stay with us.
Mid-Morning Mic Check with Mike Rogers and Austin York on DFW's number one for news, traffic, and weather. News Radio 1080 KRLD. Depend on it.
10:52 now as we continue. A man is now facing arson charges in connection to one of the biggest wildfires still burning in Washington State. Spokane County Sheriff John Knowles, he's crediting an attentive citizen for spotting the suspect.
He noticed the male was bending down near some grass. At that point, the male stood up and looked very nervous.
Yeah. So he's now facing arson charges. This guy's got a history.
He did 10 years for manslaughter in Arizona. He killed his dad and then gets out. And now he's starting fires in Spokane. He's being held on $1 million. His name is Aaron Farinacci.
Why would you do that?
I have no idea. And he was booked on suspicion of first degree arson and the Old Trails fire. This is just ridiculous. Farinacci.
The fire itself, meanwhile.
For now, calmer winds and cooler temperatures are helping crews to battle the Spokane fires, but containment is still at 0%, and hundreds of homes are already lost. Many properties continue to smolder as firefighters press on, battling flames still on the move, with three active incidents in the Spokane area. The evacuation of over 65,000 residents is a considerable displacement in a city of about 250,000.
News Nation's Nancy Liu with that report. Send that guy away. If he did credit.
Oh, my God.
Don't let him out.
He's already manslaughter charged. Mm-hmm. He's already done 10 years for killing his dad.
I know.
And now he's starting fires. So this guy just doesn't need to be out.
If you had to give up one streamer, one subscription streamer on TV, which one would it be? It's our question this morning. A lot of people saying Netflix.
That's crazy. I mean, Netflix is always going to have stuff that is new and probably the latest stuff.
Mm-hmm.
To watch, I don't know. I couldn't see getting rid of Netflix, and they're only going to be expanding.
Yep.
More sporting events and things like that.
Iron Balls writes in, he said, Netflix is the definition of penetration.
Netflix and chill.
Okay.
Got to put that part in there.
All right, I know. I should have figured.
Yeah.
All right, we take a break. Mike Rogers and Austin York with you. Mid-morning mic check continues on KRLD right after this.
This is Joe Kelly from the KRLD Morning News. As you're listening to the Mid-Morning Mic Check, the rest of our team is hard at work in the 24-hour Breaking News Center. We'll break in immediately with severe weather, breaking news, and traffic red alerts.
And this is Chad Benson. I'll break through the noise and break down the day's top stories coming up at noon.
Now, the Mid-Morning Mic Check with Mike Rogers and Austin York on DFW's number one for news, traffic, and weather. News Radio 1080 KRLD. Depend on it.
11:06 at KRLD. We get into hour number two of the show today. It's Mid-Morning Mic Check. Mike Rogers, Austin York, and you, Iron Balls. He texts in, says that he's out mowing the lawn barefoot.
That's exactly what you did.
That's what I did.
Got you in hot water with the missus.
Got in Dutch with the wife.
That's right. You were sleeping on the couch.
For sure, she was not happy about it. But I commended him. I said, that's good.
But he's in Louisiana, right?
No, I think he's back home.
Oh, okay. Yeah, in Louisiana, I don't even know if they have shoes in Louisiana.
I tell you what they do have. They got snakes and stickers and
that's another
and
thing.
All that stuff. So I might not do it.
Lots of crazy reptiles, alligators, swamp.
To do it barefoot down in the bayou, that might not be smart.
That's right.
Which streaming service would you give up if you had to give up one? And a lot of people have hit that point. I got to cut back. I'm going to get rid of one. Which would it be? Here's Cindy and McKinney, your favorite listener.
That's right. Yeah. Right? Cindy and McKinney. I met her before.
Cindy says if I had to give up one, it would be Peacock.
Yeah. I mean, that's probably the one I would go with because they got that Love Island. I think that's their big draw right now, and that's a lot of reality TV shows on.
I would say Peacock. You do Peacock, though, if you don't have cable, you lose all the NBC shows, including, as we said, Sunday Night Football.
See, that's the thing. It's football for me. If it doesn't have football on it, then it's expendable.
And we watched Peacock a lot during the Olympics.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
But you could just get it back every couple of years and then for the Olympics and then cancel it.
That's right.
Well, yes.
There's always a workaround.
Now that Brian writes in, says Netflix for him. 19 years he was a subscriber, but dropped
19
it.
19 years? Has it been streaming that? Oh, okay, I guess the DVDs.
Yeah, right, back DVDs in the mail.
That's right.
So he goes back a long way. President Trump says a new round of talks with Iran, that they are the last chance for Tehran to forge a deal and avoid an escalation of U.S. airstrikes. Iran's response to that, they're saying, what talks?
The president says he wants to give Iran every last chance, as he described it before, quote, decapitation. But there's still a lot of confusion on if these talks with Iran are happening and what ultimately they could lead to if there's any kind of deal actually on the table.
We're talking about the strait, the opening of the strait, having it open literally by tomorrow, completely open. And that's phase one.
And over the weekend, the president called off what he described as the largest attack since World War II. That was set to happen on Iran, but then these allies intervened, Saudi Arabia, the UAE, as well as Qatar, convincing the president to hold off on that large attack in hope of some kind of diplomacy. But this really has become a pattern. The president threatening these major strikes, then calling them off at the final hour to talk with Iran. And that's what's playing out in recent days.
News Nation's Libby Dean there. So who is Iran talking with? Well, that would be, Oman, the country that controls the other side of the Strait of Hormuz. So there's reportedly a deal in the works in which ships entering the Persian Gulf would have to stay on the Iranian side going through the Strait of Hormuz, ships exiting the Gulf would hug the Omani coastline. And those two countries would effectively control the strait. And yes, there would be fees involved, although it's unclear how that money would be divided. Now, if that were to happen, the president clearly would not be happy. And the U.S. could begin firing missiles again. Of course, that's assuming we have any missiles left to fire.
Reuters is now reporting that we've used virtually all of our long-range precision missiles in the war in Iran. Reports state the U.S. has burned through nearly our full stocks of both Army tactical missile systems and precision strike missiles in just a matter of months. Now, those missiles have also played a key role in the war in Ukraine. Analysts are warning they would be important for a potential war with China as well.
Yeah, got to stockpile those for that war with China.
Yeah, I know how they already are scheduling that in.
It's just like a foregone conclusion.
I didn't hear about this. Okay.
Translating this into a dollar figure, at a recent hearing on Capitol Hill, Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth put the cost of the Iran war so far at $37.5 billion.
You know what's crazy is that it's so high, and yet we've not put anyone, no boots on the ground. This is all airstrikes and military strikes at certain places, drone strikes here and there.
The vast majority of this is just...
Could you imagine if we did put troops on the ground, and then you got to get tanks there, and then other vehicles? Oh, Lord.
I worry that he's going to reach a point where he just says, screw it.
Let's just go in. We got to kill him.
And then, boy, what a mess then. Enough of the mess now. And from one war to another, you know, we hear a lot about the war in Ukraine. Perhaps we should relabel that, though, and start calling it the war in Ukraine and Russia, because the Ukrainians keep pushing back deep inside Russian territory. Here's ABC's Tom Sufi-Burridge.
We saw yet again the Ukrainians striking a Russian oil refinery hundreds of miles from Ukraine, again highlighting the ability of Ukraine's drones to strike deep into Russia. Oil infrastructure, gas infrastructure, it is critical for the Russian economy, the war economy. We also saw the Ukrainians hit another logistics center for a company called Wildberries, which is basically the Russian equivalent of Amazon. It's the largest e-commerce company in Russia. The Ukrainians say that Wildberries is used by the Russians to procure and distribute military equipment. It is true that certain types of military equipment, like body armor, are on Wildberries' website. But what also is the case is that this is another example of how the Ukrainians are taking the war into Russia. If you target Wildberries, this massive e-commerce giant, it is affecting the everyday life of normal Russians.
This would be like Iran bombing an Amazon warehouse.
As he said, Amazon.
Can you imagine?
Yeah.
The outrage. No.
People would be, hey, I have to get my toilet paper coming in here. I'm not going to go to the store to get it.
The strategy clearly from the Ukrainians is to take the war into Russia, to make it clear that for normal Russians, their lives are impacted by the war. What we've also seen in the last 24 hours is a Ukrainian drone coming down onto a crowded beach in a resort, one of the most popular resorts for Russian tourists at this time of year. Now, according to Ukrainian media, that Ukrainian drone fell short of its target, which was a military production site. But again, I mean, this killed at least 7 people, including 3 children. These type of incidents are showing the Russian population the cost of the war which Russia launched.
And you'd think that by now, the man who did that, Vladimir Putin, that he'd be out of office, that there would have been some sort of popular uprising by now.
This is Russia. You got to remember that.
That has not happened.
But it is true that for the Russian elite, those, you know, very super rich people, powerful people around Russia who have multi-billion dollar interests, companies, once the economy really starts to suffer, and it clearly is suffering now, that more of those powerful Russian people begin to question whether or not this war is really in Russia's interest and whether it should continue.
In other words, if the oligarchs are still on your side, you're okay. Look, you lose them, though.
That's what I've been hearing. The biggest, I guess, the biggest thing that could stand in Putin's way from going forward is that if the powerful people that are worth a lot more than he is, if they start saying, we need to get this guy out of here, and you know how Russia is, that could happen in a lot of different ways. He's done.
Well, yeah, that could happen, or the guy who suggested could go out a window.
Well, there's that. But if there's a lot of that, if that suggestion doesn't go go away, then you can't just throw them all out of the window. Eventually, someone's going to throw Putin out.
I know.
You would think.
It would seem inevitable. I would have, you know, how long has this war been going on? Four and a half years.
And that's another thing that they all thought this was going to be, including Putin, thought this is 4 months, tops. And now here we are four years later.
By the way, on the subject of the president yesterday, we mentioned this in the first hour, criticizing big oil for some of these crazy profits. Exxon and Chevron yesterday, second quarter profits totaling over $26 billion because of the high price of oil. And the president's not happy about that. He says that's too much. That's too much money. They should give some of it back, et cetera, et cetera. Well, here's listener Brian. He's in Dallas. He gave us a shout out on the Odyssey app.
Hey, guys, I wasn't there, but I would be willing to bet that if I was watching President Trump as he was chastising the oil companies for making too much money, that at the end of that tirade, Trump probably gave the oil companies a wink, because I would imagine that he's not going to be too angry at them. They helped to get him elected, and now they are enjoying the profits. That's kind of the way it works in Washington today.
Well,
thank you.
He's right about that. Yeah. Somebody helped you get into office, and you're always going to have to rub those guys back.
And, you know, I mean, these days, gosh, it wouldn't surprise me if today he came out and applauded them for making all that money. So
the bottom line with the oil is, like you always says, is going to go up. It's going to go down. They're going to make money. They're going to make extreme money. The company that never seems to really be hurting too badly is the oil industry.
That's true. Well, it is all cyclical, and it's down. The price of oil is down, though, today.
So what do we got? Is 76?
76. Still
okay.
76 for West Texas Intermediate. Look at the stock market, though.
What do we got?
After yesterday, what was yesterday's jump?
Oh, it's at an all-time high.
Close to 1,000. We're up another almost 900 points today.
They love it, man. They see something in the horizon that maybe is not quite apparent to us yet.
Evidently. All right, when we come back, the Los Angeles Dodgers, are they going to ruin the sport of baseball? Get differing opinions on that, certainly in light of their most recent
Dodgers
trade. What's their payroll?
I don't know.
Billions and
billions.
And
the thing is, it's all deferred anyway.
Right, and that's part of the problem. So we'll get into that when the Mid-Morning Mic Check continues on KRLD after this.
The Mid-Morning Mic Check with Mike Rogers and Austin York on DFW's number one for news, traffic, and weather. News Radio 1080 KRLD. Depend on it.
We continue the Mid-Morning Mic Check. You're a part of the show, too, at 945-766-1080. Let us hear from you. You know, Austin and I, we've been bad-mouthing the Los Angeles Dodgers for a long time now.
I'm still going to.
And their ability to buy the best team possible, basically, and just win championships, because they've got this huge market, they make a ton of money, all that broadcasting revenue.
They're not doing anything wrong against the rules, but it's just like no one else can compete.
They just outspend everyone.
Yeah.
And that's why the owners are proposing a salary cap. They see that as the only way to slow this juggernaut
down. This all in.
But salary cap, the players are not on board with that. That could lead to a lockout and perhaps no baseball next season. Not everyone is hating on the Dodgers, though. Jim Bowden, baseball analyst for CBS, he says the Dodgers are great for the game.
They are the best for baseball. They are the greatest for baseball. They have owners that want to spend money. They have owners that want to make money so they can spend money. They want to hire the best people, have the best analytics, the best research and development, the best amateur scouting, the best international scouting, the best player development. They want to have the best of everything. They hire the best people. They trade for the best players. They sign the best free agents. They're committed to world championships. The Dodgers are the model organization, not for baseball, but for sports in general. And they shouldn't be called the Los Angeles Dodgers. They should be called the World Dodgers, because that's exactly what they are. And oh, by the way, the whole country of Japan roots for the Dodgers, because they were smart enough to go get Shohei Ohtani and Yasunobu Yamamoto and Roki Sasaki. And what does that do? That brings in revenue so they can go spend more money. They make the best moves. They are great for baseball. They are best for baseball. But let's get a hard salary cap, please, so that the other 29 teams have a chance.
Was he serious about that, or was he being sarcastic?
No, I think that, look, there is some people, if your owners want to go for it all the time and they have the money and they're willing to spend the money to do it. I mean, we've been bitching for years about Jerry Jones not doing that for the Cowboys, but now someone's doing it in baseball. But there's a salary cap in football.
That's right, and all the other sports. The deal that has once again brought all this to the forefront was the Dodgers trade for the Tigers ace, the two-time defending Cy Young Award winner, Tarik Skubal.
Yeah.
For him, the Dodgers sent the Tigers three minor leaguers and some cash. But as Bob Costas points out, because the Dodgers also have the deepest farm system,
they didn't even give up some of their very best prospects. Also, for almost any other team that might have been in the running, we heard about the Rays, we heard about the Brewers, in the running for Skubal, it's going to be a rental for them. The Dodgers know that unless some sort of significant salary cap is imposed after the almost certain lockout in December, if it's anything like the present system, the Dodgers are in perfect position to keep Skubal. So when they acquire Skubal, yeah, it could be in theory only for 3 months, counting October. But there's a very good chance that Skubal plays out his career as a Los Angeles Dodger.
Oh, great. And so the question, all things considered, are the Dodgers good for baseball or are they ruining it?
I understand ownership's desire for some sort of economic predictability, if nothing else. And one thing that is a reasonable argument is that even if the Brewers and the Rays and other teams that are relatively under-resourced, no matter how clever and smart they are in their management, they can't hold a team together. There's going to be a lockout in December, no question. It'll probably carry over into spring training, and it might even carry over into the regular season because the owners don't mind if they play only 140 games. It's happened before. Attendance isn't so great in April when kids are still in school and the weather isn't so great in some cities, et cetera, et cetera. So they're willing to lose games, and I wouldn't be surprised if it didn't happen. But if they blow the whole thing up, this is like some sort of mutual suicide.
It's a good point that he makes. It's building a good team is not as difficult as keeping the team together.
Absolutely, because these guys are going to get good.
That's where you've got to have the money.
They're going to get pay raises. This is what the A's, if you ever watch the movie Moneyball, this is exactly what they ran into all the time. They had a great farm system for years. All these players would get great, and then it came time to get paid, and the A's just couldn't pay them.
Couldn't or wouldn't.
And the Yankees were right there to swoop in and give them all the money they needed.
So look at this. The two things here. First of all, local TV rights.
Okay.
Fees. All right. In Major League Baseball, you start down at the bottom. You got the Brewers, $33 million. Dodgers this year, $334 million.
Exactly.
In local TV rights fees. And do you know how far back you'd think the Yankees would be at the top? Yankees, $217 million.
And that's from the Yes Channel and everything. They've got it all wrapped up right there.
They're just barely more than half of what the Dodgers are getting.
That's just crazy.
Which is insane. And think about this, too. It's something else that's insane is the Dodgers rotation now. Once everyone is healthy, should be by the end of this month, it'll be Ohtani, Skubal, Yamamoto, Blake Snell, and Tyler Glasnow.
That's pretty good. You can win a World Series with that rotation.
And then the lineup on top of that with Ohtani, Mookie Betts, Freddie Freeman, Kyle Tucker, Max Muncy. It's just stupid. All right. Now, does anyone have a chance? Of course, that said, the Dodgers have lost like five in a row now. But
anything can happen in the playoffs. We've seen that, including the Texas Rangers winning a World Series out of the same way. But again, it's stacking up pretty well for the Dodgers. You like their chances going into the postseason.
I would say so.
A lot.
When we come back, RFK Jr., guess what? He's got a new cooking show.
All right.
That's right. We're going to saute some raccoon penises.
Oh, boy. Right. There goes our explicit rating.
We got to get that for you coming up. Stay with us.
The Mid-Morning Mic Check with Mike Rogers and Austin York on DFW's number one for news, traffic, and weather. News Radio 1080 KRLD. Depend on it.
Seems like another pool day for me.
Oh, yeah. And it probably won't cool you down enough anyway.
No. That when the water temperature is like 92.
That's right. That's what you're going to feel.
Like a warm bath.
Mm-hmm.
So we know that he has a crazy love affair with dead animals. And now he wants to help you eat right. Health and Human Services Secretary Robert Kennedy Jr. launching a new cooking show.
All right.
In an effort to get Americans to eat healthier.
Hi, I'm Robert F. Kennedy Jr., your HHS Secretary. Welcome to the Real Food Show. Thanks to President Trump, we flipped the food pyramid and put real food back where it belongs, at the center of the American plate.
It's all to encourage Americans to eat better, and he's using post-apocalyptic type messaging ahead of the rollout to spread the word. Kennedy says the Real Food Show is designed to help Americans reframe the way they feel about food and how they prepare it. This is part of Kennedy's push to get Americans to eat more whole foods and fewer ultra-processed ingredients.
That's right. More bear meat, whale heads, and raccoon penises.
As a fitness nutrition nature specialist myself in their effort to do this. I wouldn't be surprised if they talk about swapping out chicken breast perhaps for chicken thighs. Freeze really well and they don't dry out. That'll definitely drive costs down at the grocery store. Also getting creative with legumes, adding chickpeas to things like soups and chilies, and maybe black beans to an omelet. We got to think outside of the box. We're looking forward to seeing what this show will entail. Kennedy's Pyramid focuses on proteins, vegetables, fruits, and cutting back on highly processed foods. What's new is this pyramid does not demonize animal fats like steak, cheese, and butter.
Well, I like that.
Okay, good. And another thing is processed foods. I am starting to look into that a little bit more. If you realize how much processed foods you eat.
I know.
Oh, my Lord. You're like almost everything.
Anything packaged.
Yeah, so you have to start thinking about that. It's not good for you.
She did kind of lose me at chickpeas, though.
Chickpeas. But the black beans and the omelet, that's pretty good. I've had that.
I would do that.
So let's see what it is. I'm not going to. If he starts pulling off whale head or something like that, then I'm like, I might check out.
Steer around the chickpeas.
Yeah.
All right. Been talking about this story today quite a bit, and let's get to it right now. You know, before TikTok and Instagram, even before Facebook, the early era of social media was dominated by MySpace.
That's right.
And then all the others came along and MySpace faded away. Now, believe it or not, it may be coming back.
This all comes from a documentary that's being made about the platform that interviews the current owners of MySpace, Tim and Chris Vanderhook, and they say that they are working on a new relaunch of this iconic social media platform, really one of the first social media platforms out there. But beyond that, we don't know a ton. We don't know when it's going to release. We don't know any changes that they plan to make to the, you know, classical idea of what MySpace was. But one thing that we do know, Kira, is that they are planning to reintroduce that top eight feature where you could select eight of your friends to basically be in your inner circle, which, you know, was one of the attractive features of MySpace. It also created a lot of drama back in the day. That is something that apparently they are planning to preserve. But again, beyond that, there's a lot that's still up in the air.
What? I'm not in your eight friends?
You might laugh, but again, I was in my 20s when MySpace came out, and I knew a guy and a girl that were dating. They got into a fight because she wasn't in his top eight, and some other chick who was he kind of might have had an eye for was in that top eight, so started a fight.
Well, I can understand her being upset about that. And for those who don't remember MySpace, by the way, it offered a lot more than just that circle of eight.
MySpace offered huge customization. You could go into the actual code of your profile and change things like the background to make it glittery or to have different pictures involved. You could automatically play songs if someone visited your profile, and the choice of song was a huge part of the sort of social interaction between people on that platform. And as a result, it also became this big music discovery platform where people could, you know, find out new music, new bands, and as a result, the music world really took to this in a pretty big way. Artists like Lily Allen, Calvin Harris, Arctic Monkeys all went big on MySpace in an effort to just get their music in front of an audience that would have otherwise not heard it. So a variety of different things kind of, you know, that you could do with MySpace. Obviously, it kind of failed as a result of the more uniform Facebook that came around just a year later and really took off on college campuses. But now it seems like there's this effort to kind of go back to something that is a little bit more personal. And that's why these creators are trying to get MySpace back into the public sphere.
ABC tech reporter Mike DeBusky. I actually remember the Arctic Monkeys.
That's right. I didn't know that they were MySpace creations, basically, that they used it.
Would you want, though, every time you got on someone's page for a song to come blasting up?
Yeah, that's kind of true. To me, MySpace, if it's going to come back, it's going to have to evolve a little bit from what it was. Because back in the day, you could post anything on somebody's page and there wasn't anything they could do. They could delete it, but you could put it up, and that included pictures or whatever. Now I think you probably need a little bit more control over that.
And I still don't know that I'm completely on board with the circle of eight.
Yeah.
I think that's going to cause
somebody's
going to
get mad.
Yeah.
What? Why am I not? I've known you for years.
Taking one final break. We'll be back to wrap it up. Mid-Morning Mic Check on KRLD. We're coming back after this. Stay with us.
The Mid-Morning Mic Check with Mike Rogers and Austin York on DFW's number one for news, traffic, and weather. News Radio 1080 KRLD. Depend on it.
Wrapping it up on a Tuesday morning. Mike and Austin with you in the Mid-Morning Mic Check. distracted drivers in one small town back east. They are on notice to put down their phones because there may be some eyes in the bushes.
A police officer in Dunellen, New Jersey has been hiding in the shrubs, blending in to catch unsuspecting drivers. The police posting on Facebook, "Did you spot our shrub today? If you had your head buried in your phone, probably not." Dunellen police say that hiding in the weeds is way more effective than sitting behind the wheel of a patrol car. 74 drivers getting tickets Wednesday alone.
Wow. They be hiding in the bushes.
Hey, that's the old way to do it.
It's like, was it James Mason said in North by Northwest? That's not very sporting.
Well, it's not, but I always thought, hey, you can see the cop a mile away if he's just sitting on the side of the road.
Oh,
and he's
true.
Got that radar.
That is true. Part of the largest class action settlement in U.S. history, tens of thousands of student borrowers who said their schools misled them are going to have their loans forgiven.
I trained in computer-aided drafting at ITT Technical Institute.
For half a century, its commercials filled the late-night airwaves until 2016, when ITT closed its 130 campuses, leaving students like Robert Hall wondering,
how do we get the money that we put into the program?
A decade later, he might finally have an answer. A federal appeals court has ordered the U.S. Department of Education to forgive the loans of 170,000 students of more than 150 for-profit schools accused of misleading the public about their graduates' job prospects. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
I do know somebody that went through ITT Tech, and then they tried to transfer over to Texas Tech. I think one credit. That's it.
He might get some money back.
Yeah, I know. I'm going to need to ask him.
Today is August 4th. It was 33 years ago today, back in 1993. One of the greatest moments in Texas Rangers history at the old Arlington Stadium. Robin Ventura.
Oh, man. I didn't know this is the anniversary.
He was with the White Sox, up to bat. Nolan Ryan on the mound.
The pitch is way in. It hit him in the right elbow. He's going to the mound. He's going after Nolan Ryan. Ventura against Ryan. They've got him bear hugged. Ventura fighting Ryan. Ryan being pushed back. Both benches empty. A huge brawl has erupted as Robin Ventura has chased the legend Nolan Ryan, and the Rangers take exception.
You're darn right they did.
What an idiot. He always said that that was his biggest regret in baseball. He didn't know what he was thinking.
Nolan didn't need any help, though. He was 46 at the time. He delivered a series of epic noogies to the top of Robin Ventura's head.
You don't rush Nolan Ryan.
You do not do that. Also, on this date in 1964, the bodies of three missing civil rights workers found buried in an earthen dam in Mississippi, and Anne Frank and her family arrested by the Nazis on this date in 1944. They finally found him up in the attic. Birthdays today, Meghan Markle, the Duchess of Sussex, turns 45 today. NASCAR legend Jeff Gordon is 55. Roger Clemens, 64. Barack Obama, 65 today. And Billy Bob Thornton.
I was born and raised here up till I was 12 years old.
Why are you here now?
They turned me loose from the state hospital.
Billy Bob Thornton is 71.
71, wow.
I know.
No, is that old?
Looks okay for 71.
Yeah, he's doing good.
We're getting ready for a new landman.
That's
new
right.
Season coming. And that's it. We're done. Mike Rogers, Austin York, and the Mid-Morning Mike Check, the podcast version. Check that out. Chad Benson's in next. We'll see you tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock.